Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, you can't have New York without sports. And you can't have sports without the fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Your 66
WFAN New York.
9:35 here in the fan. I am Susan Waldman out here in Westchester, and down in Florida is Howie Rose. And up in Boston is our friend, the Hall of Fame columnist from the Boston Globe, our friend Dan Shaughnessy. Hi, Dan.
How are you guys this morning, Susan?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, buddy.
You know, I got a question for you, because sure. Howie and I were just going through all the things that people have to do to stay safe in clubhouses and dugouts and tunnels and stuff. Have these people ever been to Fenway Park?
Well, when you built in 1912, it was built for people that are only 5'6" tall. So I think, the protocols are going to be tough to enforce there. Not a lot of open spaces there, as you know.
Dan, what's your most immediate concern as players begin to report to their respective home cities this week for baseball? What is your most immediate concern about the period between now and July 23rd and the feasibility of getting it started?
Yeah, my concern is that they call the whole thing off because it's just too hard, just too many things. I mean, we've seen this in Harbaugh talked about this with the football, plan, and that's far off. This is right in front of us, and I talked to Terry Francona last Thursday, and he's got a good attitude about it. And of course, he's in kind of a older demographic, so more at risk, I suppose. But Susan knows. I mean, the clubhouse life is his life, and all this disruption, is going to be hard for him. But he's got the right attitude, which is, if we're going to do this, we got to do it right and have faith in the guys. And I just, there are things about it that just are impossible. I mean, the reference of all these young players, nobody taking any unnecessary risks away from the ballpark, going out to bars, meeting girls, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it just feels like there's always a lot of knuckleheads in any group, and in a baseball group even more. And I think if your team is bad or falls out of it, what's the incentive? It's just a hard thing to imagine that this is going to work. So I guess my biggest fear, the answer to your question, is that they end up calling the whole thing off before it gets started.
Yeah, Dan, and you brought up Terry Francona, and I was telling Howie about your article, which was great. And I'm reading this, and we all love Tito. We all love him. He is of that demographic. He does have many underlying conditions. Brad Mills is the same age. They're not, and your manager is not a kid either. Ron Renicki has got to be way over 60.
Yep.
It's mind-boggling to me. And I know it's their lives, and you can't ever go to the ballpark when Terry Francona's around. You can't beat him. You cannot beat him to the ballpark. And you can stay as late as you want. You won't beat him leaving either. It's amazing to me that these guys are so positive. Have you guys, has anybody talked to Ron Renicki about this? I mean, isn't he scared at all?
I think that, he's happy to be managing again, and he's certainly not going to push back too much in 60 games. I think for him, it's the whole thing's awkward for him, because I still think that they all want, they all want Alex Cora back, and now with a 60-game season, I mean, or no season, it's easier to do. But, everybody that likes Ron Renicki, and he's not going to make a lot of ruffle a lot of feathers here. He's not going to make a lot of noise. You know him. Very quiet guy. Go along, get along. And just a placeholder, I think. He knows he's nobody's guy. He's not Heim Bloom's guy. He's not the player's guy. You know, he's not the owner's guy. He's just the guy who's here in the bridge. This is a year that they had given up on. They basically announced we're going to be worse. They did announce that. They had the salary dump. And so now their chances are enhanced in a way that they really don't deserve by the shorter sample. So I have a hard time getting behind their competitive angle to this going in. But the practical angles, which is what we're talking about now, those are big hurdles for everybody.
Dan, let's talk about the competition for a moment, because it's something unlike anything we've ever seen in terms of the small number of games that are going to be played. So what would you expect the primary manifestation or two or three to be about how managers run a game and how different the average game might look this year from maybe any other season?
Well, Tito addressed some of these. You know, he said, you know, there's no checks and balances. You know, we got to police ourselves. If a guy's not running out of ball, there's no crowd there to tell you that you got to do better. And so, you know, he's got that kind of thing. He also is telling them, this is all going on the back of your baseball card. You know, it could look like it's not real, but it's real, and it's going to count, and it's going to be there forever. So you have those things, and you know, everybody responds to these things differently, and some guys are going to, it'll bring out the best in some guys, and it'll bring out the worst in some guys. But I was there in 1981 when they stopped the season for 50 games, lost 50 games in the middle, had that goofy first half, second half, ended up with the Yanks and Dodgers in the World Series. I don't know, when I look back at that World Series, I don't say, well, that was the strike year, that was only two-thirds of a year. You just kind of look at it. So this thing is unlike anything. I mean, you're not going to have baseball basically until August 1st. But again, Tito said, hey, August 1st, we're all going to be 500. We're all tied for first place and go from there. He says, that's pretty cool. Let's make it a positive.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about all that, and we all know that one the main reason for all of this is to get to the playoffs, where, you know, where the money kicks in, and that's what this all is. Is there a possibility, you think, that this could start and there's outbreaks and whatever, and they could shut it all down? Then it's really all for naught.
Right, just the, you know, it'd be like 94, except only 20, 30 games, whatever, with no finality to it, no crown champion. But I think all that's possible. I mean, Susan, you know, we all read the papers, we watch TV. This thing changes every day. It's not been good developments in a lot of the places that did have easier times earlier. And it's just hard to know how it's going to play out. I mean, people are going to get the virus, how that affects you know, baseball moving forward is going to happen in all four of the sports. And I read all these stories. I can't get too invested in any of it until I see it start to unfold, because I'm just not convinced that it's real.
Yeah, and you know, Dan, there's that very sort of ambiguous phraseology within the agreement that stipulates that if competitive integrity, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing, that if competitive integrity becomes compromised due to the number of people who test positive, then certainly that could shut down, at least temporarily, the season. But, you know, that's a very, very fine, blurry line there. You know, what constitutes competitive integrity being compromised? Is it the quality of specific players who might be, you know, taken ill, or is it simply the numbers? What creates that competitive the loss of competitive integrity?
Well, economics play a lot into these kind of decisions, and I think that'll decide itself. If people aren't watching, if it becomes a farce, you know, AAA ball, replacement players, that kind of thing, guys not showing up, I think it'll tell itself. If people aren't going to get vested in any kind of a postseason with this sort of play. I mean, I am not old enough to remember the war years. I mean, World War II, and you got the St. Louis Browns in a World Series. But that was always, you know, people would say, well, you know, all the good guys were off to war for 3 years. Those years, look at who won the batting title. Look at these goofy numbers. And those were full seasons, but there were a lot of aberrations in the stuff that was compiled at that time. And it was always talked about. You know, when I was, you know, a kid, 60s, whatever, people would say, yeah, well, those years, you know, pay no attention. Just kind of go from 42 to 46 and skip the stuff in between.
I remember that also, and it was kind of St. Louis Browns, but it kind of is, I think it's a little different because the guys were off to war, they were in a different sure. place, and you weren't like sitting really in the middle of it, and that was a time when you could go in and sit in the ballpark, and it didn't matter who was out there. It was, you know, part of it, and you could get together with it. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, the Celtics are one of those teams going to the bubble. So if they're in a bubble, has there been any kind of statement from the Celtics about this? Because the people, for example, that are in the that take care of the hotels, they're not in the bubble.
Right.
So if they're, you know, how do they get their food? How do they get their bags up to their rooms? Has this been all, are the Celtics talking about this at all?
Every sport's talking about it. There's all kinds of things. You know, we got the goofy hockey thing. We don't even know where the hub cities are yet. You know, they're making it up every week as they go along. And the data from Florida, of course, is just dreadful as it gets closer. So I think you're going to see more and more pushback from players and player agents and that sort of thing as that gets closer. I don't know. But, yeah, all the things you're raising, Susan, yeah, those are all raised. And, you know, how insulated are you? I mean, the media, we're told that it costs $60,000 to get a media representative in that bubble. So that's going to be a disincentive to have it covered by newspapers, which they're not exactly flush with dough these days. So it's almost like they're discouraging coverage. And I'm aware of the situation with broadcasters and baseball and, you know, studios as opposed to on-site and just the whole thing. It's like, I mean, Susan, you and I talk about this all the time, that, you know, we got to do this when it was really fun, and it increasingly became less fun over the years, and now it just feels like it's all gone. I mean, I suppose if there's a vaccine, could get back to some sort of a new normal or old kind of normal, but right now with what we're looking at, it's like who wants any of this? I guess we can all stay home and watch TV, but that feels like the extent of it right now. There's nothing before that's anything like what we're about to see.
And so given that, do you have any kind of a rough idea based on a percentage that you could just only imagine right now, what the percentage would be of players who will opt out and just refuse to play given the uncertainty and the risks?
Well, and the baseball guys, I mean, you guys are all over this, I'm sure, but, you know, like, I think there's, 11 of them playing for free because the money they got in March supersedes what they would get now if you're a low-wage guy. And, you know, I think a lot of them just really playing for peanuts because of the staked money that they got up front. So you have that, and, of course, you have your risk in leaving your family and whatever it may be, the travel that's going to be involved. We don't know where the Jays are playing right now, all that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's just I can't even imagine. And, you know, we've all dealt with baseball players. They're nice guys. But it's not exactly there's not a lot of independent thinkers or kind of wisdom spewing out of those clubhouses. There's a lot of guys who follow and do what the older guys do. And this is going to be a circus, but we're not going to be there to tell you what it's like because they're going to be on their own.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting. And that is something that I think is lost. By the way, I think the only people that would opt out are people that have gotten their money and don't need service time say, you know, if I quit tomorrow, you know, even if I make $3 million for 1 year, if you can't live on that, then I'm sorry for you. But it's, I think those are the people. But the thing that's kind of interesting about all of this, and I know fans don't necessarily care. I think baseball is different from the other sports because, you know, we wax poetic in how he was just doing it about sitting in the park and things you knew about players and why we're so attached to baseball players. And if there's no writers or broadcasters or people that can connect with these people, that's gone. And it's like you're looking at a Nintendo game. I mean, I know it's still the Red Sox uniform and the Yankee uniform, but I think the things that, you know, that we talk about and love about baseball, those stories won't be there because there'll be nobody there to tell them.
Absolutely, and that's part of the folklore and what's made these things great. And again, we talk about it at dinner before the games and sometimes at the bar after the games and just the whole traveling entourage. It's it's just, it's going to be a loss. And I mean, I think for the players, by and large, they will like that. And especially the millennials that we have now, this is kind of the way it's, they don't even talk to each other. You know, they're just looking at their phones. And so, you know, you've got kind of a new culture moving forward with this. And I think this will play to the strengths of a lot of guys. I mean, certainly a guy like David Price, this is going to be heaven for him, you know. And so, I think, but for the consumers, the fans, the readers, the viewers, the listeners, they're never going to know what's going on or what they're like anymore. It's just, and that was kind of a fun thing. Think about covering the 86 Mets without being able to tell people what they were like. I mean, that really matters when you look back at it, those knuckleheads. You know, I mean, that was a big part of the layer to the story. And the same thing with the 77 Yanks. I mean, you know, just all the stuff that was going on, it really enhances the enjoyment and the excitement of following them, and that's all just taken away.
Hey, speaking of the 77 Yankees, Dan, and you know, we're both just about the same age. People always question you about, hey, have you ever photobombed anybody important? There is a great shot. You probably know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, I know where you're going.
There is
a great shot.
Okay,
just
it's
Google
in the post game. Clubhouse after
Reggie's
the Yankees had beaten
game.
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yes, to win the 77 series. Were we kind of hovering around Reggie or Steinbrenner or I don't remember who? I think it was Reggie. And there's always a scrum around this particular player anyway, but with the television cameras there, if you look carefully, you'll see in your image on screen a very young Dan Shaughnessy and a very young Howie Rose getting their mugs on national TV just so they could say they did.
Yeah. So you don't have to look very carefully.
There's a great case of photobombing.
It was the Reggie 3-home run game, the clincher in 77, and I was 24 years old, and I get that all the time because the Yanks are always, during rain delays, they're always showing those things up on the big board. And, and A-Rod asked me about it, everybody. I look like Forrest Gump or Napoleon Dynamite, and I'm just standing there. I'm between Bill White and Reggie and just squeezed in.
Right.
And Reggie starts talking about Standard Brands and you know how full of BS he always was. But it's interminable. It's a long period. People were calling my parents' house, saying, you know, Danny's on TV. And it lives on. If you Google my name and Reggie, it comes up, and it's not hard to miss.
You know what's really cool about, and I don't know, for I was 23 at the time, and so as a somewhat impressionable kid, I thought this was kind of cool, although I will issue the disclaimer that Dan just did, that, you know, Reggie could be, you know, full of BS and himself and all that. But I don't know if you're in the same position. I might have been a little bit either before or after that, Dan, but Bertie Tebbets, who had been a Yankees scout, was in the clubhouse, and Reggie spotted him probably about 20 or 30 feet away. And Reggie stopped the beginnings, I think, of an interview. It's probably after the cameras were off, but or maybe in this case when they were on. Reggie walked away from the scrum and spent about 2 or 3 minutes with Bertie Tebbets, thanking him for the detailed scouting reports and telling Bertie how much he thought that his work meant to the Yankees winning that World Series. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's why we love Reggie. He's always aware of everything, and I can just see that. And again, that was a special time in New York, a special time in our careers, and obviously for Reggie, that's never goes away, and good for him.
You know what I remember most about, and as long as we got you on here, Reggie once told me about when he was in the minor leagues, and the person that helped him the most with racism and all kinds of things was John McNamara, who he played for in Double A, and I'll never forget that, because this was when I first met Reggie. He was telling me about that, because I had said that I was sitting with John McNamara's daughters for the 1986 World Series, and he started telling me these stories about John McNamara. I never knew this, and Reggie's more than, you know, sort of, you know, that personality. There's more to Reggie than everybody has seen, and he sat with me. It must have been 20 minutes, him telling me stories about John McNamara and how he helped him down through that the first time he had really faced racism in the minor leagues.
Yeah, that's great. It's a tribute to Mac and a tribute to Reggie that he remembers that and honors that. So So good for him. I myself never had those experiences with John McNamara.
No.
We hated each other, but that was another deal altogether.
I know that. And we were in a bar once in Boston when right, never mind. You remember that one. The thing that's interesting, if we look at baseball here, and you know, and now everybody's using sprint, not a marathon, and who do you think is set up? And it's teams that would usually fall out of it in the second half, like the Tampa Bay Rays, and I'm kind of looking at Tampa Bay and all those millions of kids that pitch that they keep bringing up and keep finding, and I'm kind of wondering what you think will happen in this if we play. Let's say if we play. I know Vegas says Dodgers and Yankees, ho-hum, but are there teams that you'd look at that would benefit from playing a short season?
Oh, sure, the bad ones.
Exactly.
I mean, the equalizer about baseball is the 162 and pretty much sorts itself out. But we all know, and it hurts the good teams. Look at the Nationals last year. We know they were 19-31 after 60 games. They ended up being the best team in baseball. So that team finishes out of the running this year. And we've seen this all over the place. I mean, so yeah, this will be the way the Dodgers don't win this year, and they should have won the last 3 years, and now they're not going to win because of this year. There'll be something. It's always something with them. And there's going to be aberrations. I mean, the Storm and Orioles could make the playoffs, Susan. Anything could happen.
Well,
here,
let's not get carried away here.
But yeah, you're going to see some outliers, no question.
Well, bring it on, I suppose, although there's a lot of territory between now and July 23rd for bringing it on. But we certainly appreciate you being on with us this morning, Dan. Thanks so much.
Anytime for you guys. Love it.
Thanks, Danny.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. And Susan, I've got to say this about, I know the challenges inherent that Dan was outlining about covering baseball this season in particular. But I got to take my hats off to the sports editors, the columnists, and the beat writers, certainly of the New York papers, and I'm sure those around the rest of the country too, who for the last 3 months have struggled, I'm sure, on a daily basis to find something even remotely compelling to get out online or into the hard copy of their newspapers that would be interesting and hopefully draw fans to read it, clickbait maybe in some cases. But I got to give them a lot of credit, because to make something out of nothing is not easy. And that's what they've all had to do. And I guess to a certain extent, we have too.
Yeah, well, the thing that's interesting is that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because everybody, all the beat people have had something. And what made it hard is that, you know, as the negotiations were going on, players didn't want to talk. And we've all got, now they're in people's phones. I still have a little address book, but we've all got phone numbers of people, and you'd call guys and you'd call, you come on the air, or can you say, no, they really don't want us to talk, or I really don't want to get, I really don't want to talk about any of this. So the fact that every beat writer for the Mets and the Yankees, because that's who you follow, and they're doing it, Pete Abraham's doing it up in Boston, but with the Globe, and all the writers are doing that, but to make stories every single day and you can't talk to people, that's really tough. It's really tough. So you try and use, they're very talented people, and I know it's sometimes the media gets a bad rap, particularly in this town, about what they do to players, and you see the difference without it. You see the difference without it, because you can't talk to people, and the teams don't want to talk themselves. So it was, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And we'll be talking to one of the beat writers at 12:30, right?
Yeah, that's Tony DiComo, the Mets beat writer for MLB.com, still to come, or Roy White, Bobby Valentine, and Matt Blake. But you talked about being able to talk to people. That's what we're going to do next, because we'll be able to open the phones in this upcoming half hour at 877-337-6666. So, Susan, we threw a lot of things out there at the open for, the first 25, 30 minutes, and there may be some fans who disagree or dislike or, just take some sort of exception to, our feelings, as we kind of fit a very, very narrow demographic here. So I'll be interested to hear what's coming up on the phones in the next half hour.
Me too. So we will break here for the update, and we'll come back, as Howie said, 877-337-6666. Next up, you, Howie and Susan, here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.